is KSGF Mornings with Nick Reed. Nick is on a four-day vacation, and I am Dr. John Lilly, and with me is...
Tom Martz.
We're with the Lockett Smith Foundation, and we're filling in for Nick today. We are going to have a three-time winner of the Lockett Smith Award on in the 8 o'clock hour.
I would even take a step to go four-time, but he won't be getting a plaque because of the coronavirus.
That's true. Yeah, he would. He is term limited out.
Correct.
So, yeah, this coronavirus kind of messed up a lot of things this year. And I know that, you know, it has affected a big part. Obviously, it's affected a big part of the economy. And there have been a number of protests in some state capitals on wanting to get back to work. And I think it's going to start within the next month. I think a lot of people are going to be clamoring to get back to work. And I think it's not going to be that big of a... This is all going to start going away pretty quick.
Well, the funny thing is anytime you talk to somebody who's elected, they will always look you dead in the eye and say, "Well, you're the boss. You know, I work for you. Excuse me, if you've closed my business and you're forcing me to stay closed and you're going to use the thin blue line police powers to force me into closure, I'm not your boss. You have superseded your authority." And for people to, it's time that people just do what it is that people are going to do, should do. Yeah, exercise common sense. But this stuff of keeping states closed down and keeping businesses closed down far beyond has exceeded any governmental authority these people have. And speaking of authority, but not of the government type, we have Mr. Don Luzader.
Well, thank you. And by the way, I got a new forecast again for you. So that one replaces your old one. Things just keep changing.
Oh, we've even upped it now.
Yeah. Now we were talking about a flash flood warning a minute ago. We have one of those now, and it's for southwestern Greene County, and it goes until 1 o'clock this afternoon. The National Weather Service says Doppler radar indicates thunderstorms producing heavy rain across southwest Greene County. The Springfield National Weather Service office measured 3.8 inches of rain over the last 4 hours. Flash flooding is ongoing or expected to begin shortly. Some locations that will experience flooding include Springfield, Battlefield, Ash Grove, Republic, Willard, Brookline areas. So these flooding of small creeks and streams, urban areas, highways, streets, and underpasses, as well as other drainage and low-lying areas. Turn around. Don't drown. Now, also, we have a chance for some severe weather later this afternoon. A lot of that depends on how much instability we can get going, but there is a chance for some large hail damaging winds, even an isolated tornado, particularly south and west of Springfield. But again, a lot of that depends on what happens this morning. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt's office is filing a lawsuit against Tuning Element, that's a Branson area business, for what it says is price gouging when selling face masks and respirators during the COVID-19 pandemic. Schmidt's office says the suit is seeking restitution on behalf of consumers who purchase these masks and respirators and wants to prevent the business from continuing to price gouge or engage in other deceptive practices. And Branson's new Aquaplex Water Park will open on June 2nd. It has water slides, play structures, a climbing wall, lap lanes, and a diving well. It will have morning and afternoon swimming sessions because of the coronavirus, so crews can have time to get everything sanitized. And that is the latest news.
Oh, I guess it would be me. The KTTS First Alert Forecast. We have a flash flood warning for southwestern Greene County until 1 o'clock this afternoon. A flood warning for Greene, Central Christian, Northeastern Stone, and Taney counties until noon. Today it'll be mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms through late afternoon. That ends me being able to go bike riding. And tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and storms with a low of 64. And this weekend, if you're going to partake in things outside in observance or remembrance of Memorial Day, bring an umbrella.
It's a good idea.
you know, Don brought up something that I think needs to be eliminated completely out of state statutes, and that's that stupid price gouging thing. If they can pass laws against price gouging, then by God, they can pass laws against hoarding.
Correct.
It's kind of the same philosophy, but we have a special guest on the phone.
Oh.
One that we were unaware that was going to call in, so we couldn't build it up any bigger. But we have with us Mr. D. Whopper. How are you doing, D?
Well, good morning. I'm sitting here in my law office library in the rain. And once upon a time, back when I was prosecuting attorney, before most of your listeners were even born, I read every statute book in Missouri, of which there were four, basically, statute books, consisting of about 4,000 pages.
Were they written on stone? Were they written on stone?
No, but the print was pretty small, I have to admit. But now we have, instead of 4.5 books, basically, we now have 20 books in that period of time, which is about 50 years ago when I was elected prosecuting attorney. Plus, we have 6 additional books with supplements and amendments. So if you'll figure this up, I just looked at the pages. We have 9,435 pages of laws, plus 1,168 pages of amendments, or we have 10,600 pages of laws. So we went from basically 4.5 books to 26 books. And so we've tripled the amount of laws that, you know, if there's such a thing as a general practitioner today, which there aren't so many as there used to be, because you can't keep up. We have so many laws. Admittedly, the U.S. Supreme Court has handed down important decisions that has caused certain changes. But, you know, I just want to point out, of course, we have Westlaw now where you can purchase a service and go to a computer and try to find some of the laws. But, you know, for the average citizen, we say the law belongs to everybody. It doesn't just belong to attorneys or judges. Yeah, trying to find the law in this mass of pages that we have, I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever counted the number of laws that we have, but if we have 10,600 pages just of laws, and every page, let's say, would have an average of at least 4 laws on each page, you'd have over 40,000 different laws. So, if you know, it's enough to blow your mind. I just thought you might be interested to know how difficult it is to glean what the law is, and you know, the citizens have to have respect for the law. They have to know what it is. We have to know what the law is so that we don't step over the line. And that's the problem today, is what you were discussing earlier. We don't know for certain, and the police don't know for certain what kind of law to enforce because they're confused. Everybody's confused. So,
yeah, but on that note, and we have to go to a break, but I have friends of mine who will say that law explosion, it occurred in 2010. You know what happened in 2010, don't you? That's when the Republicans took control of the General Assembly. So according to, there was only 4 volumes of law books written until 2010. Now all of a sudden we're up to 20. You're listening to 104.1 FM KSGF.
Well, normally this is Nick Reed in the morning, but he's not here this morning. I am Dr. John Lilly, and with me is
Tom Martz, and normally during this hour, it's us anyway, so.
Oh, that's true.
And if you pause in your speech, that's all the opportunity that Nick needs to go off on a 5-minute rant that had nothing to do with what we were talking about.
That's true. And he, you know, Don Luzader must enjoy these days because he gets to read the news uninterrupted. Nick usually interrupts him at least once or twice.
Well, there are things, and I think there are occasionally the little bantering of them back and forth is kind of a respite because it does kind of get enjoyable, especially when
yes.
Don's actually educating him on something or Nick is trying to find out why it is that something occurred in a news piece, of which I'm not too sure that Don knows. I don't know if he's researched it enough to figure it out, but at least he's man enough to say, I'll research that, and when I come back in, I'll let you know.
Yes.
But, you know, Nick had a story, I forget, sometime this week about a Freedom of Information request from a friend of ours, Nick Ibarra. And the city of Springfield said, oh, by the way, we'll get that to you, but it's going to cost you $6,800. I have found it interesting that another friend of ours who lives out in Texas County also did the same thing. And he was told that there has been no reports. But yet somebody posted one from that same county where somebody decided that there was 10 people in a business. And it was one of those non-essential businesses. So they called it in to snitch out their neighbor. But we also have, and this is from an employer, this letter is always wear a mask. Of course, I now call them COVID catchers. This is no longer a choice by you or your client. If you get caught without your mask or a client tells me you didn't wear it, I will have to report it. Just because things are open does not mean COVID-19 is gone. The risk is greater now that people are out and about. Which brings us to our next topic of discussion, which is these CDC guidelines that I swear change daily. So how are you supposed to keep up and keep pace with all this scientific data that was supposed to be 2 months ago, was supposed to be set in stone, only here we are a month and a half, 2 months later? I mean, I even heard a guy this morning talking about there was an interview. Pat Tomey was in a commission meeting yesterday, and he was talking to some guy from Stanford University where it is virtually impossible for a child to pass the coronavirus onto an adult. But yet the CDC says, well, don't let your children go visit your elderly. Don't let your children do this. Don't let your children do that. Well, if it's by these studies, if it's virtually impossible for a child to pass the virus on, why?
Exactly. And I think that the CDC has ignored a lot of the information that's out there that have been done in studies, which we will talk about on the other side of this break. Well, Darren Chappell would like the bumper music.
Well, I've been kind of waiting for a country song, so finally she acquiesced, and we have one.
We got one country song. You're listening to KSGF Mornings with Nick Reed. He is on a 4-day vacation because it is Memorial Day.
And so
on
is Sarah.
Monday. And what?
So is Sarah.
Yes. Yeah, she's gone too.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm Dr. John Lilla, and with me is
Tom Martz.
We're with the Lock and Smith Foundation. This is Springfield's Talk 104.1. You can call in or text in on the Queen City Motors Talk and Text line, 447-5743. We were talking about the coronavirus. I did a little research on the coronavirus.
No. Say what? It's not so.
One of the interesting articles that I came across was on the Diamond Princess cruise ship in, I think it was in Japan. But this is a perfect, you know, this is a self-contained experimental pool. They got, somebody brought the coronavirus onto the ship, and so they quarantined the ship. When they went in and tested people, half of the people that tested positive had absolutely no symptoms, which means there could be a lot of people walking around that had the coronavirus and are now immune to it, and they had no idea that they had the coronavirus.
How do people get the flu?
Particulate drops.
So in the same essence that people get the coronavirus, they get the flu.
Yes.
So if the media was to promote the flu like they did the coronavirus, would we shut down annually?
Some people would like us to.
I mean, because it boggles my mind that, and all these numbers, I think we're at like a 99.7%, if I'm not mistaken, my numbers could be off, survival rate. But we're dwelling on the death rate instead of the survival rate. But yet the flu is the opposite way. Well, look at all these people who, you know, they're up and around, they're doing this, they're doing that. If we took that tact on the coronavirus and just allowed people, give them some guidelines, do like Sweden's doing. Now, granted, you're going to have people not follow those guidelines, but still, the thought of locking something down, putting people under house arrest, being a little tyrannical dictator in the political subdivision that you govern because you want to be able to promote at a later date that you've saved lives, when in reality the essence is you don't even know if you saved one.
That's right. One of the things about the Wuhan, China, where this got started.
That's racist, by the way.
It's what?
It's racist. Oh, you can't refer to it as that.
Well,
Kamala Harris has a bill in Congress that's going to prevent you from.
Well, it got started in Wuhan, China. 11 million people in that city. And before they figured out how bad it was, they finally ended up quarantining the city. So they essentially locked the city down for 5 weeks. And that's how they got through this. But there's an estimate of there may have been as many as 5 million people that had the virus and left Wuhan before it got quarantined, that spread it within China and worldwide. I thought it was interesting that New York had this horrible death rate. Los Angeles is pretty densely populated, and you weren't hearing about this horrible death rate in Los Angeles. So I went on and looked at some statistics. In New York City, there were 19,000 deaths. In L.A., there was 1,200. In San Francisco, this was about a week ago, there were 29 deaths. So wait a minute. San Francisco's got almost 1 million people. So per capita, that's probably 1/100th of what New York City has.
Yeah, but San Francisco's got a huge population of
Chinese.
Asians.
They have 21% of their population is Chinese. And I thought, how many of those 5 million people traveled from October last year to February of this year, traveled back and forth between China and the U.S. on business, see, family, whatever? How many of them were asymptomatic, had the virus, spread it to somebody in the U.S. that also went through it, was asymptomatic, didn't have any symptoms, and became immune?
But you also have people who do have symptoms that are just like, oh, no big deal, I'm not going to the doctor for this.
Right. Because the vast majority of the people that get this have mild symptoms. And so it's, oh, I got the flu. I got a cold. It was really coronavirus. They are now immune. I just think there's a lot of people on the West Coast because I am assuming there was more travel between China and the West Coast versus China all the way to New York City.
Okay, but apples to apples, did L.A. County and did the San Francisco Bay Area put COVID patients into the old folks' homes to help stimulate the death of older people?
Oh, probably not. So with that, we're gonna take a break. We'll continue this discussion. You're listening to Mornings with Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1. Another country music song. This is KSGF Mornings with Nick Reed. We're not Nick Reed. I'm Dr. John Lilly, and with me is
Tom Martz.
We're with the Lock & Smith Foundation filling in for Nick Reed. Although, as you pointed out, we would normally be on this hour of his show anyway. So you can call or text in on the Queen City Motors talk and text line. The number is 447-5743. We've been talking about the coronavirus. I found my statistics. Relative to New York, Los Angeles had 31% infected and 13% deaths, and San Francisco had 6.5% infected and 1.5% deaths.
But not everybody was tested, so...
Right.
Those percentages would be different if you actually had a...
Yeah, and I think once they test... once you have to know to get the real death rate, you have to know how many people were infected, and we just haven't done all that testing. So with that, we are going to go to Mr. Don Luzader with the news.
Good morning, gentlemen. We are continuing to monitor the flooding situation in the Springfield area, where we've received 3.8 inches of rain between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m. today, and we continue to have rain falling, although the heavier rain has moved just north of town, up toward the Walnut Grove, Willard areas, but we have more on the way. We have rain southwest of Springfield that's tracking northeast, so we're certainly not done with this by any means. Springfield, Battlefield, Ash Grove, Republic, Willard, Brookline, some of the areas that will experience flash flooding today. Turn around, don't drown. Governor Parsons has a plan to increase coronavirus testing. We'll focus on nursing homes, prisons, as well as widespread community testing for anyone who wants to have it in certain counties, including Greene County. Parsons says he wants 7,500 tests per day, including 1,850 at nursing homes and other long-term care facilities. The increased testing also includes that community sampling, and that means that anyone in a county can get tested regardless of whether they're at high risk or are symptomatic. And a Branson-based business is being sued by the Missouri Attorney General's office, saying the business price gouged its customers when selling face masks or respirators. The lawsuit says Tuning Elements sold 5-layer KN95 masks at $20 each when the highest price is around $6. The Attorney General says Tuning Element also made a number of misrepresentations regarding the respiratory and anti-infection protection provided by these products and their approval by the FDA and other federal agencies. And that is the latest news.
Your KTTS First Alert forecast is for flash flood warning for southwestern Greene County until 1 this afternoon. A flood warning for Greene, Central Christian, northeastern Stone, and Taney counties until, we changed it to 6 p.m. Today we have mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms through late afternoon, a high of 76. Tonight it'll be mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and storms, a low of 64. Now, on his news thing, he talked about the company's price gouging. Now, when it intentionally misrepresents the product, yes, there is a violation there. But if you're going to buy these masks for pennies on a dollar and then turn around and sell them for, let's say, $20 a piece, A, not too many people are going to buy them for $20 a piece if you're going to be stuck with that inventory. And in reality, many of those masks do not stop a virus that is I think it's 0.125 in size microns, of which a cloth like the one that my future daughter-in-law's mother made would not stop the coronavirus from transferring out of it and out into the open. It may deflect it, but the spore size is a lot smaller than the fabric is that those masks are made out of.
Well, to keep you from getting it from somebody else, you have to either have a respirator on that makes a seal around, or have an N95 mask, which they use in like TB isolation rooms, that rooms in the hospital that has a positive pressure. So the air is always flowing into the room and not out of the room. The N95 masks that you have to be fitted for, those will keep you from getting it. The masks that they are telling you to wear are to keep you from transmitting it to somebody. If you cough or sneeze, it catches the mask, almost all of it. There will be some that get. But generally, that's going to keep you from giving it to somebody else. That doesn't keep you from getting the virus if you can still get it with those masks on.
Now, see, in a younger life, when I was in asbestos abatement, we had, you know, the respirators, and we also had, I had a Survivair with the full face shield, and it was a battery pack, so it had a motor on it, so it was pressurized inside. But
right.
you had to be clean shaven. You couldn't have a goatee.
Yeah.
You couldn't have any part of a beard, and they were sealed around your face, and the airflow kept anything out in case it didn't create a great seal, and you always had to breathe through the filter. So
correct.
You were protected. We're coming up on another break. You're listening to 104.1 FM.
This is KSGF Mornings with Nick Reed. I'm Dr. John Lilly, and with me is
Tom Martz.
We're with the Lockett Smith Foundation. Normally, we would be on the radio sitting here on Fridays, but Nick is taking a four-day vacation since Monday is Memorial Day. And
it is to honor the dead.
Yes, it is not to honor living veterans. That's Veterans Day.
I mean, you can thank people for their service all you want, but
yeah.
Memorial Day is a day that is in remembrance of those who believe they were doing the right thing in order to secure, I'm going to use the Democrats' word, democracy globally.
Yeah. Well, there's some Republicans that do
yeah,
that,
there's
too.
A lot of Republicans.
Gosh. We have on the Queen City Motors Talking text line, we have Joe from Springfield.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, I can't put my finger on what's different about this show than normal, but boy, this is an exceptional show.
Well, just wait. We're going to talk about children's sex here in a minute as soon as you tell us what you're needing.
I don't know what you guys have done different, but tell Nick to keep it up. This is something. Normally when Nick's gone, they have a best of show. I've always wondered where they get that material at.
Well, I'm kind of ticked because we've been doing this now for 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, every Friday
every
for
Friday.
7 years, and we have never made a best of show.
No, we haven't.
Dee's been on a best of show, but not us. I mean, come on.
Yeah, this finding best of Nick material is kind of pretty tough to do, so.
Well, it's going to be a best of on Monday, so.
Yeah, it's going to be a best of Monday, so. And I know we won't be on it, so.
Yeah.
Oh, this
the trend
corona
continues.
Thing, it's mind-boggling. I watched the Greene County coronavirus website, and yesterday they said there had been 6,600 tests performed in Greene County. and they have 110 active cases, or 110 total cases in the whole history of this thing. Now, those people who have that test done aren't just normal people walking up and down the street. It's people who have showed some kind of symptoms and have had some reason to have a test done. So if the infection rate is really that low among that population, I mean, where's the emergency?
There hasn't been one ever, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, Trump was talking about this back in January, or Pence was talking about this back in January, and then you had that the John Hopkins University brought out that study of how many millions, I think it was, people that were going to die of it, and it just went freaking nuts afterwards.
That's my point. I mean, the Greene County website 2 weeks ago had a column on their table that said total number of cases currently in the hospital, and it was 3. Both of our hospitals are basically shut down, and there are 3 cases in the entire Greene County hospitals.
Yeah, some people who probably need a hospital who are scared to death to leave the house because they think they're going to get coronavirus. The heart attack that they had is not as important as getting coronavirus.
That count has disappeared off their website. They list total number of people hospitalized through the whole thing, but they don't list the total number of people currently hospitalized anymore because it's just... It doesn't fit their narrative to do that.
Well, if nothing else, the one thing that this has shown us is you know exactly who wants to be a tyrant and a dictator to be they govern.
A guy I work with is 70 years old. He turned 70 years old in 2 weeks. He was scheduled to have some kind of biopsy or something done. He's not real forthcoming on what it was, but some surgical procedure done on March 16th. They canceled him and postponed him 2 weeks till the 1st of May. May came, they canceled him and wanted to postpone it again. And he said, listen, if whatever this is I'm having done isn't urgent enough that I can't go into an empty hospital and have it done, we'll do it on my time schedule. Schedule it for September after summer.
I can't blame them a bit.
That's what they're saying, that the shutdown is going to kill more people than the virus is. Because, like you said, heart attacks aren't getting diagnosed and treated. Mammograms aren't getting done. All these other cancer screenings are being postponed because they're just not as urgent as a 1 in 100,000 percentage case of getting this. That's my soapbox.
You brought up a lot of good points, Joe. We have got to go to a break. We will be back. This is Springfield's Talk 104.1. This is KSGF Mornings with Nick Reed. I'm Dr. John Lilly, and with me is...
Tom Martz.
We're with the Lock & Smith Foundation, and we're filling in for the vacationing Nick Reed, who is taking 4 days off for a 4-day weekend, since Memorial Day is on Monday. We're going to switch gears and talk about another little local brouhaha.
Can children consent to sex?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't want to tread into this, for other reasons, but when this individual brought this up, it delves into, and you can read there's an article on Ozarks Independent, there's a whole bunch of different Facebook posts, but Cecil Ince, who was part of a DESE committee, he is part of the, or was part of the Missouri Libertarian Party. I also think he's running for Greene County Commissioner. Steps into a thread that involves the teacher who's been convicted or is being sentenced for having sex with a 13-year-old. Now, there are obvious reasons why there are laws on the books, because you can use, like in an employer-employee situation, you can use the application of the power of your position as boss. If somebody wants to continue working, that you have to put that type of thing. But when it comes to kids, he's making the case, and rightly so. He has a tendency sometimes to step deeper over that line than what people are comfortable with. Now, one thing I do agree with him with is parents should protect and preserve their child's right to life and liberty. That is the sole responsibility of a parent. That all consent should derive from the parent on all issues of the child. So if you're delving into what it is that he's saying, he says a parent should deny the child's right to sex. What happens if the parent don't? I mean, we had a case not long ago, somewhere here locally that I remember hearing about, where a parent was selling their daughter for sexual favors so she could purchase drugs. So you delve into this, and the Libertarian Republic is where he was responds back, well, what if they don't? Here's what gets him into trouble. You can't rape the willing. When you make the case that a 13-year-old, 12-year-old, 11-year-old, now let's eliminate the Muslim application of this. When you make the case that a child 11, 12, 13, 14 can consent to sex with an adult, you've now stepped into the outer limits, so to speak, of what people are comfortable with. Now, I'm not a huge proponent to consent laws being in the state statutes, but when you get to the point of making the case that a child of 13 can consensually say, yes, I want to have sex with you when you're 52 years old, there's a statement there that a lot of people are not comfortable with.
Yes. How long was the Crystal Quaid?
Well, we're going to play that speech just before Mike comes on. That way,
okay,
he can, because I'm going to ask him a couple questions about,
okay,
that.
Okay, after the 8 o'clock
after
hour.
The 8 o'clock,
okay,
hour.
There is, some would say that the brain does not come fully developed, functional, until you're 20, 25 years of age, that you have fully functioning analytical capability. So there's even, you know, you can make an argument that even 18 is not old enough for a legal age. You're not mature, you're not mentally capable of making some decisions. So we've kind of set 18 as the legal age.
But, John, back in the day, 12-year-olds were marrying,
yeah,
and that's always the fallback. But that was a different time, different age, different concept completely,
yeah,
to what we have now.
Yeah. So, they have statutory rape laws for a reason.
I mean, sometimes in reality, and I know people are going to find this hard to believe, but I have literally typed something out and went and read it and went, no, I probably should not hit that send button. There are some times where you have to look at that and go, you know, it's not worth the backlash that I'm going to get for this. And
yeah,
this is, I mean, he had to pretty much eliminate himself off of social media. He's going to be a pariah in this area for some time.
Well, that's one of the good and bad about social media now. We can do a whole program on social media. We are going to come back at the top of the hour with a guest that's going to call in who is a three-time winner of the Locke and Smith Award. We're going to have the minority floor leader of the House is going to have. She had a little speech before the end of the session. So we're going to play that speech, too, and get some questions from Mike and see how Mike thought the whole legislative session went. So you are listening to Springfield Talk 104.1.